ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 9, I believe it is. Is the board there? Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Savai pung sang paro dharmo. Yato bhaktirad hokshaje. Ahaitukya pratihata. Yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential parts so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable and illusory, is inferior. The devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental service, loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. In the last two lectures, I spoke on this verse and on the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. Atindriya priti vancha tare vale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhare premonam. The purport of both of which is the same, somewhat more explicitly stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, the very word Krishna is given, whereas here is given Adhokshaja. Here it is stated Bhakti, which is Ahaituki Apratihata. Ahaituki and Apratihata. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. So that translates as Krishnendriya Priti Icha. The desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And then we come to, related to other basic definitions of devotional service, this Sivan Mukhe Hijivado, the desire to be, Krishna reveals himself to someone who is desirous to serve him. Serve means ahaituki and apratihata. And hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti rujate, service. So this is the point which is encapsulated in this one verse, and practically this one verse, savai pung samparo dharma. If we know this, that's everything is there. Everything we need to know is there. It's complete. This is what, by all the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand this. And in fact, all the study, Vedas, Upanishads. Upanishads generally, that is considered very high knowledge, but the knowledge in the Upanishads hardly begins to approach this basic point. It's given there, and one who actually understands the Upanishads can understand that they only speak of devotional service, but here it's very clear and explicit. Krishna, Adhokshaja. Adhokshaja here must mean Krishna. That is clarified. That is clarified just coming in the next verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Bhakti Yoga, the same term. Bhakti Yoga Prayojat. Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. As clarified in the next verse, there's this Vasudev, the very person who's been mentioned in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. He is the Adhokshita, because he is Janmadhyasya Yaton Vyadhyataratesh Chatesh Vabhignyaswarat Ityadi, and so on. The Srimad Bhagavatam makes this very clear, all these points. This is all we need to know, but then for further clarification, we have to understand how Krishna is Adhokshaja, how he is beyond the senses, that beyond the mundane senses, or he who makes the mundane senses seem very inferior, who makes them the power of people say, show me God, but he is Adhokshaja, he who makes the very idea of seeing with the eyes is relegated when it comes to Krishna, because as Srila Prabhupada states here, the relation of the servant of the served is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience of material existence. So seeing Krishna is some completely different from seeing anything of this world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to speak of Jagat Darshan and Golok Darshan, worldly vision and vision of the spiritual world. So the vision, it's not exactly it may be studied, the light hits the retina and goes through the optic nerves and all this kind of thing gets processed in the brain. But seeing Krishna is completely different. Completely different means this material world, it's a perverse reflection of the spiritual world. So there is some similarity. But the similarity is upside down, back to front, inside out. Here in this world, everything is opposite. Perverse reflection. So we may get some idea. Just like iron and gold, they have some similarity, but they're different in quality. So this Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharma, this understanding is meant for the topmost transcendentalists. Those who go beyond the Karma Kanda, they come to the Upanishads, the Vedanta, Jnana Kanda. And then, the Atato Brahma Jignasa, we should inquire into the nature of the ultimate reality. And then there is inquiring into the nature of the ultimate reality, but then there is search for the what is the highest happiness, and what is the ultimate? Is Brahman means the ultimate that's generally conceived of as the impersonal absolute, and the impersonal absolute means the happiness there is far beyond that of this material world. But there is more. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai about sadhya sadhana tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it, Ramananda first of all started off on the platform, Varnashamacharavata purushena parapuman vishnora radhyate pungsa nanyat tatto shakaranam. That Vishnu should be satisfied by the performance of activities within the Varnashram. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is external, but this is already better than the impersonalists who think to worship Krishna in some with a materialistic concept of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said this, I'm not a Brahmin. Nahang vipro nacha narapati. I'm not part of the Varnashram. To identify oneself in the Varnashram, that is a materialistic concept. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is external. The part about satisfying Vishnu, that's not it external, but the materialistic concept. But if one surpasses the materialistic concept, but conceives of the ultimate as being impersonal, it's actually a step backward, not a step forward. Can be said to be a step forward in as much as one surpasses the material, but someone who's still in the materialistic concept of life, but who is guided to worship Vishnu, then is on a better platform, because some relationship with Vishnu is there, but it means they haven't yet come to the Shravana Dasha, the platform of hearing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that we should hear Shruti Gatam, hear about Krishna. Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Vartam. Bhavadiya in this case means Krishna, about you. We should hear about, someone should hear about Krishna. Not thinking exactly how I can know Krishna. If one is thinking how I can know Krishna, this effect of jitta achitta, conquering the unconquered, that doesn't take effect. One has to hear from devotees who have heard Srimad Bhagavatam, who are rasik bhaktas, who are appreciating that Krishna is not some philosophical conception to be understood and analyzed. That's also there, the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, but ultimately Krishna is to be loved, and that love is ahaitukya pratyata. That love means there's no demand, there's no cessation. It's not that we love Krishna 23 and a half hours a day. It's full time, all time, forever, and without any personal demand. So this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which establishes it as the topmost knowledge, the topmost shastra, this Savaipung Sangparo Dharma, this idea is given that we can attain full happiness. Yayatma suprasediti. We can become completely satisfied on the platform of who we are, not on the platform of who we imagine ourselves to be. In this world, everyone is trying to be happy within the bodily concept of life, or who they imagine themselves to be. But the result of trying to enjoy the senses are not good. It's simply yehi sangsparshaja bhoga. Dukha yonya evate. It's simply the cause of all suffering, not only in one life, but life after life. Therefore, one should come to the platform of dharma, regulate the senses. In the beginning, dharma, in the very lowest stages of following dharma, one may be induced to do so with the promise of happiness, piously deserved happiness. The thought is that if I perform pious activities, then I will deserve to become happy in this way. But here the real idea of dharma is being given to those who think that dharma means we perform pious activities and then we enjoy sense gratification in a genteel, respectable way. Here I said ahaituki, that there's no desire for sense gratification or even liberation. That is the meaning of bhakti. That is the actual understanding of bhakti, although it is a much misunderstood term. So happiness is not denied. And who will deny happiness? There's a major problem with all the impersonalists' speculations. I mean, there are so many problems, but the whole idea that they desire to be liberated from this world, they can't use the word desire because they're trapped. But the fact is that the living being is full of desire, and Buddhists also. Absurdity, impersonalism is absurdity, and Buddhism is absurdity with an, if possible, with an extra, very pronounced measure of absurdity raised to the power of infinity, something like this. So, but I mean, the impersonalists, they accept that there is Atma. What is Atma? They have a complete misrepresentation. But Buddhists, anyway, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving us all from all these things. Happiness, this whole idea, happiness that comes from service to Krishna. And last time I spoke about this chicken soup idea, that we become happy by making others happy. And that's true on the material platform. The only problem is on the material platform is that the happiness, it's not really happiness. There's some very slight experience of happiness, but it's inevitably accompanied by much distress. And as Srila Prabhupada comments, even if we feel happy in the material existence, that happiness is our enemy. It works against us. We think, oh, now I'm happy. But that feeling that I'm happy is our greatest misfortune. Because we get this tiny little bit of happiness and we think, well, this material world is very nice. And then we make more plans to stay in this material world, and for every grain of happiness, there's a mountain of misery. That is the position of this material world. And plus, that happiness is not real happiness anyway. because it's always accompanied by illusion, delusion, fear. It can never be full and complete because it's experienced on the platform of sense gratification. The mother who feeds chicken soup to her children does so on the platform of sense gratification. She feels happiness in seeing her children get sense gratification. But the happiness of serving Krishna is on a completely different platform because it is Atendra Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishna Indriya Priti Icha Tare Premana. It's a, because the object of our desire is different. Instead of the object of our desire that we shall satisfy our the senses of this body, which can never be satisfied. And Krishna, He is the transcendence, Adhokshaja. We can actually satisfy Krishna, so we don't become frustrated. It's very possible to satisfy Krishna. It's very easy to satisfy Krishna. We can try for millions of lifetimes in this material world to satisfy our senses and remain dissatisfied. But if we offer patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, leaf, flower, fruit and water to Krishna with some, at least some modicum, some drop of sincerity, and Krishna will be pleased. He'll be pleased to accept that offering. And Krishna reciprocates. If we try to make others happy, in this world, if we try to be happy ourselves by exploiting others, we actually become more unhappy. That is the nature of the demons, to exploit others. Idamadya, what is that? Idamadya maya labdha. What is that? Prapse manorata. Imam prapse manorata. Idamastidam api me hanish bhavish. Anyway, Hare Krishna. It says, Krishna describes the mentality of the demons. I got this so much money, tomorrow I'll get more. This is my enemy, I killed him, I'll kill all my other enemies. That demoniac attitude and the overall overall in their consciousness is chinta maparimayam, unlimited anxiety, kama krodha parayana, just being attached to lust and greed and patante narake shucha. They fall into the most inauspicious and impure hell. This is the position of the demons. But even the people who are trying to be nice and trying to be good, it's all on the platform of sense gratification. Whereas, so they get some pleasure from that. That pleasure is on a higher platform than that of the total demons. But they still have no entrance into our understanding of the pleasure of serving Krishna. The idea that we should, instead of thinking how to make myself happy, just think how to make Krishna happy. And that extends, into this, material existence. We can serve the Vaishnavas. And if the Vaishnavas are happy, then Krishna is pleased also. Now that's on a different platform. They say, well, if we feed the children chicken soup and we'll feed the devotees with rice, dal and sabji, that's one of the exchanges, bhungte bhujayate chaiva, to feed devotees and to sometimes accept their invitations for taking prasadam. But that's on a different platform because to satisfy someone's senses in this world, or to attempt to do, they feel happy, and then you feel happy. But to serve a devotee means to facilitate his service to Krishna, because a devotee means someone who's thinking how to serve Krishna. So to facilitate their service, that may also take the form of instructing them, guiding them, chastising them, to help them to come up in Krishna consciousness, one may do so as a duty prescribed. Every Vaishnava has that duty. What they've heard from their guru, they have to impart that to others. So this, by serving others we become happy, that is a fact, but we should learn to serve Krishna and his devotees. And even a neophyte devotee, if we try to serve them, then because we're doing it with the idea that I'm serving Krishna's devotee, then Krishna becomes pleased, and tamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. By serving materialistic people, especially the very materialist people who are attached to women, then we go to hell. And mahat sevam dwaram ahu avimukte. By serving great personalities, then that is the door to our great liberation. So serving devotees is not the same as serving non-devotees, but we should understand what it means to serve devotees. It doesn't mean we try to serve them in sense gratification. This can be misused. There was a important, socially important court case in Bombay in the 19th century. It became very highly publicized. And it was publicized widely in Britain also. It's called the Maharaj libel case, because one Maharaj, Vallabh Sampradaya Grihastha Guru, brought a libel case against a newspaper editor who was attacking him again and again in his newspaper for enjoying the wives and daughters of his male disciples. He said, this is bogus. And it is bogus. But the Maharaj made a libel case. Come on, this is our tradition. This guru is, you have to offer everything to the guru. Guru is a representative of Krishna. So you have to please him. This is based on a misunderstanding. That who's the actual guru, who is the actual guru, won't be pleased by opportunities for sense gratification. The guru is a guru because he teaches and demonstrates in his own life how to be free from sense gratification and only engage in the service of Krishna as a representative of Krishna, not that he imitates Krishna. So serving Vaishnavas, we have to be very clear what this means. We try to, we try to please them. Even make there may be some opportunity for, just like Govinda was massaging the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, there's anga seva, bodily service. So materialistic person also enjoys that. He'll have servants who will do various. Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a whole team around him. There was Sruk Damodara as his. He's called a secretary. Yeah, he would arrange all the matters. Then Govinda was there as a servant. And Nandai and Ramai, their only job was to bring water. They were water bearers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a whole team around him, but at the same time he was renounced from sense gratification. He knew maryada. He knew that he showed what is the limit. He didn't like to accept a bed or a very scented hair oil that would make him smell very sweet. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he, as the ideal acharya, showed how, playing the role of the ideal acharya, showed how, yes, the Vaishnavas, they may accept service, but not crossing the limit, not for the sake of sense gratification, only as much as it facilitates service to Krishna of course, exactly how to define the line may be difficult to see, because we're in the spiritual world, especially for grihasthas, because they have matters to they have to see to their daughters' marriages. Practically, for the grihastha male in Vedic culture, his major duty is to get his daughters married. And even we find Ramanujacharya, he also became involved in the marriage of one of his disciples. He arranged it. He said, "Yeah, you marry this one." So, where exactly is the dividing line? That may be difficult to see exactly. But always we have to remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. Vairagya, devotional service without any attachment to this material world. So making devotees happy doesn't mean to give them opportunities for sense gratification under an excuse of devotional service, but to facilitate them in their service for Krishna, which may mean also making a comfortable room and so many things like this. But that is not the spirit has to be there of Krishna te kila cheshta. Everything is meant for Krishna. Everything we do, all endeavors, simply meant for Krishna. That is dharma. Krishna te kila cheshta. All endeavors should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is, again, the same. That's a summary of this Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Dhokshajaya Haituk Pratyahata Yayatma Supersedati. It's just summarized in a few words. Everything should be done, all endeavors, all undertakings, for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is dharma, this is the supreme duty. In dharma, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was very interested in dharma, and he thought that his dharma as a kshatriya, it, in this instance, it contradicted what he saw as the highest dharma, ahimsa paramo dharma. Non-violence is the highest dharma. But that doesn't apply for kshatriyas. For kshatriya, hinsa paramo dharma. For kshatriya, in the right, of course, hinsa means not just exactly violence, but it's an attitude also. So a kshatriya's, a real kshatriya's killing others, that is actually to benefit them. So actually it's true in that sense, but the point of kshatriya, he has to fight. But Arjuna thought in this circumstance, to fight is the highest duty of a kshatriya is subordinate or less important than the higher general principle of not attacking superiors. The kshatriya, he fights to uphold dharma, so that the kula dharma, the family traditions, they can continue. But if as a result of the kshatriyas fighting, the whole world is bereft of kshatriyas, then it will be adharma, adharma bhavat krishna. And the whole purpose of protecting the citizens, and especially protecting the women, that will be undone. So better we don't fight. So his consideration was dharma. Arjuna said, I do not see any happiness can come from this. I don't remember the Sanskrit just now. But Krishna caught that point. No happiness. The point, Krishna pointed out, your happiness is not the point. That is not dharma. As soon as you bring in the question of personal happiness, then dharma is modified. Of course, that's there, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But kama in the Vedic culture, fulfillment of desire, has to be along the principles of dharma. So don't make dharma subordinate to kama. Kama must be subordinate to dharma. And Srila Prabhupada gives that example, following the commentaries of previous acharyas, that even in the cold month of Magha, one must rise early and bathe, even though it's very chilly, and the woman must cook in the hot summer. Why? It's dharma. It's just something you have to do. You don't. If we think, do I want to do this on the platform of sense gratification? The answer is no. But the platform of sense gratification is overridden by the platform of dharma. We have to do it. And actually we, at the deeper level, we also become happy by doing that which seems to make us unhappy. Because if we know that we're supposed to rise early in the morning, even in the cold winter, but we think, oh, it's just suffering. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Then we are freed from the suffering of rising early. But then if we have actually developed the consciousness of dharma, then afterwards we'll regret and think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have gotten up. So the satisfaction of performing one's duty means that by accepting unhappiness, we become happy, at least knowing that we've done the right thing. And on that principle, people, they go to work. They don't like to go to work, but they think, let me bring home money, and then I'll see my children, and I'm doing my duty to look after my family. And people will go to fight wars. They don't really want to be in a position where they can be blasted, their body can be blasted to pieces at any moment. But if they avoid it, they would think that, well, that's not very good. I should have done my duty for my country. So even on the material platform, one can become happy by accepting unhappiness. It might seem that we should just act only for what makes us happy. But people don't actually become happy like that. They become more happy by controlling themselves and acting in a way, thinking of others' happiness and thinking of what is their duty. This is the platform of dharma, which is complete in Krishna consciousness. That can never be complete on the material platform. As long as there's not a proper understanding of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, then all following of dharma is shrama eva hi kevalam. Without understanding that we are meant for serving Krishna eternally, then for following dharma, that is good in the sense that it saves us from hellish existence, but without coming to the real platform of dharma, which is Vishvaksena Katasa, to attain a taste for hearing about Krishna, then it didn't really fructify. It's like there's a seed which can fructify, but if it's not given water, then it won't fructify. So dharma is comparable. It's not even exactly a seed, because the seed is a bhakti lata, bij. The seed is that there are devotional service. We can say it's the field. It's like plowing a field, but then we don't put the seeds in. So the field is conducive for cultivating crops, but then if we only cultivate the field, then we don't go any further. We don't plant the seeds, we don't water the seeds. Then it's shrama eva hi kevalam. Simply, we did something and of no actual value. So we can, well, we can say there's some, at least the land didn't become completely jungly. That means that in future, if you want to plant some seeds, it'll be easier if the land's been plowed. But if you leave it for year after year and it becomes a complete jungle, then you can't plant the seeds. So in that sense, we may say that following dharma is better, because at least it makes us better situated for taking up Krishna consciousness. But then if we don't take up Krishna consciousness, then ultimately what is the point? So all these points have to be understood. All these important words, dharma, param dharma, bhakti, adhokshaja, and atma and supersedity. This is also, we shouldn't think that it's not important. It's also important. We should be happy. We should be happy, yes. But as long as we're thinking about being happy by our own, putting ourselves in the center, we can't be happy at all. Serving Krishna, that is dharma, that will make us happy, that we can practically experience. We also have to serve the Vaishnavas, serving Vaishnavas, big and small. Devotee can do this because trinadapi sunichana, well, he can actually serve them. In this material world, service means we serve someone because we want to get something back from them. The service to Vaishnavas means we think I'm very lowly, let me serve the Vaishnavas. They may help me to come to Krishna consciousness. So the service to Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in the mood of utter humility. Actually, service can begin on that platform. In this material world, there's no real service, because everyone's trying to make themselves big. Even someone may act very lowly, they're in a low position and they accept that, that's good. A shudra should accept that he's subordinate. A wife should accept that she's subordinate. Everyone has to accept some subordinate. Even the Brahmin has to be subordinate to the guru, and the guru is subordinate to his guru. So everyone has to put themselves subordinate, but people are trying to become bigger than others. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should accept a position lower than all others, and then we can actually serve. As long as we're thinking, I am in a position to dominate others, then there's no question of service. So here in this second chapter of Bhagavatam, the outline of devotional service is given. That will be elaborated later in the Bhagavatam. We find there's in the Bhagavatam later there is discussion of service to the devotees. For instance, Vritrasura prayed at the point of his death for the opportunity to be to serve the devotees life after life. That is given in seed form here in these verses, in the in this second chapter also, this that's described Shushu Shadadhanasya Vasudeva. Vasudeva Katarujihib. What's the next line? Syan Mahat Sevyavi Pra Punyatirta Nishivanat. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains this, that we have to serve the Vaishnavas. Also, by serving the Vaishnavas, then we the taste for hearing about Krishna arises. Also, Nityang Bhagavata Seva, service to the Bhagavata. So that means service to the Shastra Bhagavat and service to the person Bhagavat. Both have to be done. This param dharma of serving Krishna, that means also serving his devotees. So in one verse we get everything we need to know. But to understand all of that, then we have to study Bhagavatam and live the life of a Vaishnava. That's why the Vaishnava communities are there. This big temple is being built, but actually more important than the temple is the devotees who are there. Otherwise we find here in South India so many big temples, but people visiting them, they don't get the inspiration to perform pure devotional service. But this temple, by coming here, people should get the inspiration to perform pure devotional service, because the atmosphere is there. Everyone simply wants to serve Krishna. Everyone wants to serve his devotees. People will, they'll be affected by this powerful spiritual atmosphere if it's there. If there's always chanting of the Lord's glories, everyone busy, not wasting time, not pursuing any other object than service to Krishna. The whole atmosphere is imbued with ahaitukya apratihata bhakti. Then that will certainly influence others. So the building is there, and the devotees, they perform bhakti, they invite Krishna to come, and by serving Krishna, they are to inspire others also to serve Krishna in this way. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? No. So, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.